Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nick Buckley, and Jake Gutierrez is now joined by Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Jeff Chedia of the University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Jeff?
You like the sound of that, don't you?
I do like it very much as an alum. Explain what I mean by that, please.
I'm teaching a class over there in fall semester.
Did you know this, Jake?
No.
I thought I told you guys.
Can I still get signed up for it?
You might be able to.
I'd love to.
It's a tough class, though. I'd tell you, some
do you,
pretty
do you
smart
want that?
Kids in there.
Do you want that?
I don't know if I
do
want
you
him
to look
there.
Out
no,
there.
I
maybe
want
a little,
him there. I'm going to go register for this class.
Man, we got some older. How old are you?
Old enough.
Okay. Super old.
26.
Well,
old enough.
I'm 26.
We got some people in their 30s in there. It's a fun class, though. Yeah. It's a good group. You know, I had reached out to some people over there in the middle of COVID last summer. And just said that I was interested in teaching, and my mom was a college professor. And
what did she teach?
She taught social work at Washington University and University of Michigan. Ooh. She's retired now. She lives here, but she taught for like 25 years. And so I'd always had an interest in doing it. I like giving back. And they actually called and said, hey, we have an opening, and would you want to do it this fall? And I said, sure. And so it's a little bit stress-inducing, you know, nerve-wracking. Usually you go speak to a class like Nate has done, you've done, and you just show up and you speak for an hour. But I got to show up with a game plan.
Yeah.
every class, man.
And these kids are looking at me like I'm going to teach them something. So I have to actually be on my toes and be ready for it. But I was telling you in the break, Marissa Leggio. Is it Leggio or Leggio?
Leggio.
Leggio.
Yeah.
Is a niece of one of your friends in the class, and Caitlin Decker knew Nate. So you guys are sprawling all over the UMKC campus with fans and people who've met you. But it's a great class because the kids who are taking it, they either love sports or they love writing or they love both. And so you get motivated kids who really want to get into it. So it's once a week. It's a little bit daunting sometimes to think about how much you can teach in a 15-week period, but we're figuring it out as we go.
Well, it's very important information because having already sat with Phil going through the process of putting together a class schedule and looking with an eye towards the future, looking at electives and different classes you could take, Phil St. John will be in that class in the very near future.
Looking for it, okay.
It's damn right. That's awesome. I love that. And, of course, that's where I graduated from, UMKC, and I do don't encourage him because he'll end up in that class.
He might just show up,
without
needing to be in the class.
You know
just want to come and see what's happening.
I want to take that class, man. I want to learn
old school.
I want to learn.
In all seriousness, that's what a feather in the cap for UMKC to have somebody that's accomplished everything that you have that can teach kids. I mean, that's so.
Cool. I thought you were talking about me. Screw you, then.
Well. You know, it's a feather in their cap to be able to say that you're a distinguished alum of theirs.
Well, I'm glad took you up on that offer. That's an awesome opportunity for you and those kids.
Good for them. Good for you. Good for those kids.
And maybe me.
Not good for Jake.
Definition of a role model.
In that class, though.
Jeff Chedia.
Now, I haven't checked in on this. I was hoping you'd have the latest information. I saw that the initial 53-man roster for the Detroit Lions did not involve a kicker.
It did.
So what are we doing here? I like it. Hey, now let me tell you something. If he really wants to get me on board, let's go for two every time. Come on, make it happen, Dan Campbell.
He does double shot of venti coffee or whatever every time.
So do you have any insight to this?
No insights, but it sounds like my hometown team is up to its old tricks.
Would you like it if he said, you know what, screw it, we're going for two now every time?
It'd be entertaining.
Right.
That's
that you look for.
Better than
they've
been
now.
In a while. There'll be some entertainment value to it. I'm sure they'll find a kicker at some point. I'm sure they will be okay.
That would be a huge letdown by the
way. Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm not actually, no. But,
right. But I kept reading stuff about the battle between the two kickers. And then they came in and just cut them both.
And they cut their best receiver, too.
Hey, so?
Rashad Perryman. They have no receivers. They're going to run the wishbone over there.
Tyrell Williams.
What's the problem here?
It's the problem is the Lions. That's the problem. That's the easiest explanation I can give you. It's just the Lions.
Right. So, the Lions released kickers Randy Bullock and Zane Gonzalez on Tuesday, leaving them with no kickers currently under contract. So, they'll get after it.
But I love how you've discovered the cheap thrills that come with following
it's
Lions
good.
News.
Yeah. No, this guy's got, I tried last year
we're
and it was difficult. It ain't tough to keep up on this team with Dan Campbell.
Matt Patricia was just kind of an unentertaining a-hole.
Mm-hmm. You know, this
now
guy,
we got a guy that's, you know.
This guy brings a lot to the
Ted
table.
Lasso.
Yeah. I don't care what it is.
Well, so normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both.
Black
that's
eye.
What I come in with. That's how I start the day, so.
Oh, Jake likes the sound. Lingo. Jake likes the sound effects. That's the
he's,
best
he's like Ted Lasso's idiot brother, like meathead Ted Lasso. We're gonna bite kneecaps.
And drink coffee.
By the way,
bite kneecaps and drink coffee.
Can I suggest to everyone some reading material here today?
Oh boy,
at The Ringer by Kevin Clark. The Dan Campbell Experience comes to Detroit. The new Lions coach knows you can't bite opponents' kneecaps, as he so enthusiastically declared in his introductory press conference, but he has big plans for a franchise that hasn't had much to root for.
Mm. Big plans.
Yeah. Just sit down and read
check
that later.
Check back in that in a couple years.
You can give him a couple years, huh?
See how prophetic that thing is.
So, the Chiefs have their 53-man roster. Any thoughts, any surprises, any comments on what they've done so far?
It seems, well, the only thing that surprised me was the four tight ends. I think that was the one that jumped out at me. That are they really going to have a game plan or an approach that would incorporate that many tight ends in the offense? We've heard him talk about this before.
They did it on Friday. Let's go.
Yeah, we've heard him talk about it before, so we'll see. I mean, they've had different people come through here over the last few years, and every year Travis Kelce ends up catching a ton of passes for a ton of yards and being the main guy, and the next closest tight end has like five catches. So we'll see what happens with it, but it certainly – it's a big step towards going in that direction. And I know that what Jody Fortson is the guy who's been in training camp darling the last couple of years, and Noah Gray they drafted. And I just don't know how Blake Bell fits into all this. I know he's the only guy who can probably block somebody in a short yardage situation, so he's got value there. But I've never been a huge fan of that, of him. But they're going with four, so we'll see.
Well, he brings the one thing to the table that the other two guys don't. Well, I guess I should say two things. The experience and the reliability, you know, of blocking. But I could see a scenario where if those two guys grow and progress and perform, that Blake Bell becomes expendable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that that's going to happen, but...
Well, I don't know. They better start blocking somebody.
That's the thing.
All three of those guys are the body types to do it.
Yeah.
And you get a short yardage, you got to have.
But you know what? Like, Kelce is underrated as a blocker, don't you think? I mean,
in the middle of the field, and that kind of stuff. I don't think on the goal line.
Oh, you're talking about short yardage stuff? Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. Big Red likes his tight ends, you know?
He ain't liked them that much here. He likes one. I know that.
But he's like forced. They haven't had that good of
tight
ends.
They forced Demetrius Harris upon us repeatedly. And
they did do that.
He had multiple opportunities, and it was there, and he just...
He just kind of dropped the ball.
Right. Exactly. Repeatedly.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Pun very much intended.
You guys, you remember he actually played college basketball.
I heard that. Somebody told me that.
Picked up on that when he was
here. But they did. They'd run out three tight end sets sometimes with guys. You're like, why are they forcing this package on the field right now? And so you wonder with this one, are they forcing it again, or do they really... They like these two guys.
Yeah. Well, I also wonder about the – well, I don't wonder. He just didn't show up, but Cornell Powell wound up on the practice squad, fifth-round pick. That's not a great look for you. But
he got outplayed.
Yeah, he got outplayed. Yeah, and so they rewarded the kid who did outplay him. And the way – Marcus Kemp's going to be on the roster, right?
Yeah,
I saw there was some kind of mix-up.
So what they did was he's a vested veteran, and so it's roster manipulation. They could release him, but he's not subject to waivers. And so they could just say, hey, see you tomorrow. And so bring him back when they make a roster move. And so it turned out that the roster move yesterday was Tyrann Mathieu going on the COVID list. Yeah. But they've several reports have confirmed he's vaccinated, so hopefully he'll be back sooner than later. But that's just a smart way to play it. They didn't have to put him on waivers. Like, Bo Pete Keys went on waivers, didn't make it, goes with the Colts. Tim Ward, and see, I had both Bo Pete Keys and Tim Ward on my final 53. Bo Pete Keys, they tried to get him through waivers, didn't do it, and then Tim Ward ended up he got claimed by the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. So two guys that I have in my 53 didn't make it, get claimed, but and I think that's another statement. You know, a team did claim Tim Ward. A team did claim Bo Peep Keys. Nobody claimed Cornell Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it ain't just, you know, because I thought maybe there was a chance somebody would claim him that maybe liked him in the draft and said, you know, well, we like this kid coming out of Clemson. Yeah. I don't know what went wrong there, but let's put a claim in on him.
Ooh. Yeah, he just didn't show anything.
Yeah. I mean, who was the kid that they had a few years ago, the corner from Notre Dame, that they ended up cutting, third-round pick?
Yeah, it was Russell. Was
his Kamari Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Dors.
Yeah.
And I'd still want to get the whole story on everything.
He just got cut from someplace else recently. I saw his name on a waiver wire.
They did it with the fullback, too, from K-State, with Braden Wilson, I think was his name, way back in the early.
He was a sixth-round pick?
Yeah, he was a sixth-rounder, I think.
And Russell was a third-rounder. Yeah. That's like, can you imagine that happening now? Like, whew. Yeah.
And, I mean, we talked about, like, Breland Speaks, it took a year, you know, but they
had a bad injury.
But they also, they traded up to get him, and then they cut him out. I actually think I give him credit for that. You know, like, instead of throwing bad money after good, like, everybody has bad draft picks, everybody. Mm. And it's like, there's a lot of GMs out there that don't want to admit it, so they force that guy on the roster, and then...
Really the first couple of draft picks that Veach has cut since he's taken over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It speaks to their depth.
Yep.
It speaks to their talent evaluation on undrafted guys. You know, so they're if you're letting go of players who were drafted highly or players who perform well for you in training camp, it means you got a really good team. Right, because if you're a good team, you're letting go of that everybody can stick around and stay with you. So, and I saw Darwin Thompson got picked up by the Bucks, right?
Yep.
So
practice squad.
Yeah. And so, look, they're in a good place. I honestly think, and I've had conversations about this, that their defense could and should be the best defense they've had since Mahomes has been the quarterback.
Yes.
When you look at what they have in place and that people play up to their potential. So it should be fun. I think that they are going into a different era now, or a different incarnation of what they were. I think, you know, when Mahomes came on board, it was 5,000 yard, 50 touchdown passes, balls going all over the place, and they'll still have that element, but I suspect with what they've done with the offensive line, where they're at with their receiver situation, having four tight ends, that the offense will be different a little bit. There'll be more balance to it, more runs, more multiple tight end looks, and that the defense should, if Chris Jones can be what they think he can be, and if Jaren Reed can be what they think he can be, and L'Jarius Sneed, those three guys can really show what that potential at those positions, they should be pretty good.
And I do believe that based on everything that I saw at camp, other people saw at camp, Willie Gay Jr. was ready to make a big step forward. Unfortunately, he had the concussion protocol he had to go through in camp, and now he has the turf toe. And so, you know, they don't think it's going to be long term, but you don't know. Maybe he's going to be ready week one, maybe not. You just hope that injuries aren't a problem for him throughout this entire year, because I do think he's going to be a big upgrade now that he has a grasp of the defense, and also adding Nick Bolton, because linebacker's been a weak spot for him. And so adding those two guys, I think, helps. Like the star nucleus on the defense.
Yeah, they're more athletic, and I even, you know, I've had debates with people about this, about just how important is Frank Clark to this defense. And it seems like they're going to do more of what the Ravens do with their pass rush, which is scheme some stuff up. But they're not going to rely so much on a dominant edge rusher. I think Chris Jones will be a really good player. I don't know if he'll be a dominant edge rusher, but creating those mismatches with him up and down the line, asking Jaren Reed to be an interior disruptor.
Your Michigan man, Mike Daniels, looked good.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I Turk Wharton, too. He's been he was, you know, undrafted free agent last year.
Yep. And so those names are guys, those aren't household names, but I think if you put them in the right spot with the right matchups, you can create some pressure there. But just the fact that they're more athletic and that they're better on the back end, it doesn't matter who you have rushing the passer if you have guys who can't cover. And so if L'Jarius Sneed is what we think he can be as an outside corner full-time, and Charvarius Ward's able to play at a consistent level, yeah, I think that even Mike Hughes has been a nice surprise in camp, right? I mean, he was a guy that people were dumping on when he came over here, like first-round pick. They got tired of him with the Vikings because he couldn't stay healthy, but he's shown a lot. And so you have the makings of a really intriguing unit. And with how creative Steve Spagnuolo can be with defense, you have to like what they can do.
And at least you have the idea that, okay, Hughes has the pedigree. He was a recent first-round pick. you have seen cases like that where change of scenery, use him differently, just get out of the place where he was, and maybe he can live up to some of that potential. And so that is a nice surprise. And that you hope that they can get something out of DeAndre Baker, too. But I as a return man as well, I thought Mike Hughes was very impressive in camp.
I thought so. Yeah, he showed a lot in that department as well. But, you know, the thing I'm thinking of when you're Steve Spagnuolo, you're saying, well, Tyrann Mathieu can play in the spot, in the slot. Mike Hughes can play in the slot. Legarius Sneed can play in the slot. So when you want to dial up some blitzes, you know, from your corners, man, you got a lot of things you can do now because you're not really showing your hand as much. But all these guys can play in the slot. They can go back to where they were. They can move all over the field after this ball is snapped. So, yeah, they could have some fun there.
The thing that's been so refreshing about Spags' defense compared to what we saw with Bob Sutton is that they actually will dictate the terms sometimes on defense. You know, like you were talking about, they can move different guys around and say, okay, now you have to react to our formation here. And with Sutton, everything they did was a reaction to the other team. So the other team could manipulate you into whatever situation they wanted to. And because they have versatility, guys like Snead and Mathieu, like you said, those guys have proven they can get after the quarterback when they blitz. And if they have some more versatility on that defensive line now, too, where they can move guys around, it's just another part. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to be successful every time, but at least they get to dictate the terms of engagement a little bit.
Yeah, and it still comes back to they got to be able to stop the run and force teams into predictable down and distance situations, passing situations. You know, but again, I think that they've got the makings of it. I don't want to say that they're there yet because so much does rely on the Nick Boltons, the Willie Gays, you know, Legarius Sneed, guys, Chris Jones playing different spots, guys being able to do that consistently. It's one thing to watch it in training camp practice or to watch it in a preseason game against a second team unit that's not scheming you up. It's totally different when you're out there and you're trying to cover Keenan Allen or you're trying to deal with Darren Waller or Josh Jacobs coming your way and there's a game plan involved. And so I want to see that happen. But and that's why the first game is so intriguing. Yeah. It's going to be a great way to see where they're at and what they can handle because, you know, Cleveland's coming in here with a whole bunch of different weapons and a lot of attitude and a belief that they can be something this year in this league and that they know they have to go through the Chiefs to be something. And so, yeah, I think you'll see a lot of I love the first 6-7 weeks because you've got matchups against a lot of playoff teams, a lot of teams with high hopes, a lot of teams with different offensive capabilities, and, you know, I think we'll find out very quickly how good this defense is.
We've got Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. We'll be right back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. All right, let's talk about Cam Newton being cut by the Patriots. And I know that like Vic Fangio and Matt Nagy were furious that the Patriots cut a veteran quarterback that could lead you to mediocrity. And so I know they're very angry about it, but what did you think of the decision when you heard?
Of Cam?
Yep.
I wasn't surprised that Mac Jones won the job because everything that we were hearing was indicating that it was going in that direction anyway, that you didn't hear a lot of, you know, Belichick doesn't do a lot of glowing praise to begin with, but when they drafted Mac Jones, he said Cam Newton's a starter. By the time you got to August, he wasn't saying who the starter was. And so you had to feel that Mac Jones was really gaining ground in that competition. And so the way they want to play football in New England now is a lot like they were playing back when Tom Brady was in his early years there, which is run the ball, good offensive line, strong defense, good special teams. And they don't need a quarterback to be super dynamic. And that's where I think Mac Jones really proved his value because he's efficient with the football. He's accurate with the football. They want to play in the middle of the field with those two tight ends they got, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, and their running backs out of the backfield. So last year they tried to play a different way. And I think there's some people will tell you there might have been some arrogance involved in that, that just we can get anybody to come in here and play and we'll win games because we're the New England Patriots. And they realize there are some things you can do with Cam Newton and some things you can't do with Cam Newton. Now, he wasn't playing with the best weapons last year, but I think that they saw we have an opportunity to get a young quarterback on a rookie contract, have him in for 5 years. If we want to franchise him, we can do that stuff. But we've got half a decade to play with this guy and a great opportunity to go and you know, find good talent, what they did this past offseason. The thing about the vaccination part, people keep going back to about did that affect him or not. You know, it may have played a role. I don't think it was a huge factor. I just feel like Mac Jones played well enough to get the job. He's less expensive in the long term. And Bill Belichick has gotten rid of a lot of big-name players over the course of his career. He's gotten rid of Lawyer Malloy and Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork and Ty Law and Chandler Jones. He's not ever been afraid to get rid of people. And I do agree that if Cam Newton had been the backup there, there may have been some drama if Jones didn't play well, but that's out the window as well.
So, I mean, it might not have been the reason that it might not even been a factor with Cam Newton, but why would any of us be – like, it should be a factor. Should it not? I mean, you have different rules if you're unvaccinated than if you're vaccinated. You bring a whole different set of circumstances to the team. I don't understand why, like, the NFLPA would want to investigate this or why anybody would be surprised at all by this. You are negligent in your job as a GM if you don't at least factor it in, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think it may have played some kind of role. I don't think it was a determining factor. Right. I don't think it was he's not vaccinated, so he's out. But it does make me wonder if you are Cam Newton. Are you that oblivious to the circumstances in the world that you can't see? Well, this may play a role in my sticking around or not sticking around.
Or somebody else.
There are a lot of people that are oblivious to what was going on around them.
Right.
I hate to say it.
Because yes. But if you think about it this way, like if you're going to, okay, let's say you want to bring in Cam Newton as a backup quarterback. Do you want a backup quarterback who's unvaccinated in the same room with your starting quarterback?
Okay, so what do we say?
No.
Okay, Jake, what did you say? Perfect fit for him is where?
Washington.
Yeah.
Who's your head coach?
Ron Rivera.
Do you think that he's interested in bringing Cam in unvaccinated because of what he's gone through?
Probably not.
Right, because he's talked about it. So that right there eliminates a spot for Cam Newton that seems like a natural fit.
Yeah. And Urban Meyer took some heat because he came out and was open about.
Okay, I'm going to play this for you. So before we get any further, because it is interesting. So Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, said yesterday that he's a firm believer that everyone should get vaccinated for COVID. And there's going to be consequences to not being vaccinated. He says, Coach Reich's for the vaccine. We have a lot of guys on our team for the vaccine. Is it 100% perfect? No, but it's a good thing. So you have the Colts GM saying it's a factor and there'll be consequences if you're not vaccinated. So that's kind of a wink that, okay, then maybe it is a big deal since the effing GM saying it. So then here is Urban Meyer. When asked whether a player being vaccinated or unvaccinated had an impact on a roster decision,
everyone was considered. That was part of a production. What's his? You know, let's start talking about this, and then also, is he vaccinated or not? Can I say that was a decision maker? Was certainly in consideration.
Of course, it was. Yeah. That's of course it was. But then here's Bill Belichick. Saying that when he was asked if Cam Newton's vaccination status had anything to do with his release.
No. No. I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that. And, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information. But the number of players and coaches and staff members that have, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number. So I wouldn't lose sight of that.
That's such an obnoxious quote. That's such an obnoxious quote. I don't know what the numbers are, but here are a bunch of numbers that I don't really know. And you guys shouldn't lose sight of the numbers I don't know.
He should be on Facebook.
I mean, that's really good. Thanks for the fantastic insight there. Yeah, that's such an obnoxious quote. My God.
Jeff Chedid, your reaction.
You know, I think if you got every decision maker for all 32 teams in a room and asked them privately how they feel about this, they would tell you what Chris Ballard said.
Right. That's the way the NFL has structured this.
Yeah.
And so then the NFL's like, well, hey, investigation. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Now, they can't come out and say that because they don't, they've obviously made agreements and there's legal consequences of this. You don't want people feeling like they're being discriminated against because this is a personal choice still, but this is also a business. And, yeah, I guarantee you every team in the NFL was looking at who's vaccinated, who's not, and it was affecting – wasn't affecting star players. But if you're on the cusp of losing a job or getting a job, I guarantee you that's a factor. Now, again, with Cam Newton, I don't think it was the major factor. I think the major factor was Mac Jones was drafted to be their franchise quarterback. He was coming along faster than they probably expected. They want to play a certain style of football. If they were going to play the way the Chiefs played when Mahomes came on board, I think it'd be a different story.
How about 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions last year? Was that a factor?
That helps too.
There you go.
Well, and I think the vaccination plays a bigger role given that Cam got it last year, got COVID last year. Right. Their team went sideways after that happened, and then he had a situation this year. So that definitely sticks with people. And I'm sure every team in the NFL looks at it like, we don't want to be what Tennessee went through last year. We don't want to go through what the Ravens went through last year. We don't want to go through what the Patriots went through last year because it's too hard to win games anyway. And so if you've got a safer, more reliable option, regardless of position, and you think that person is going to help you and be there for you because he's been vaccinated, yeah, I think it's an easier choice to make.
I had to look this up because I actually want to get the numbers right if I'm going to say it. First of all, the point by Bill Belichick that, you know, there are people like Tyrann Mathieu who have tested positive after being vaccinated. First of all, it loses sight of the fact that what we're talking about, there's a practical different set of rules for a player who's not vaccinated. So even if you don't, even before you get to his absurd statement about the efficacy of the vaccine, that's still there. Even if his incorrect statement was correct, that part is still there. The rules are different. But Lindsey Jones, this is a verified person who tweeted, the testing data from training camp found a 7 times higher incidence rate in unvaccinated players. Can you still get COVID? Is there still a crossover? Yes. Nobody has said that it's 100%, but 7 times higher. There are numbers there. If you're going to make that statement, you know, the numbers are there and they fly in the face of what you're saying. You know, so just like that drives me nuts, man. Like you're spreading bad information when you do that. So anyways, and he does it in such a condescending way.
I like how he stops and then he starts and no one steps in. More.
Yeah.
More.
I just
back up on the soapbox.
You've never listened to a Bill Belichick press conference, obviously.
Right. I find him so unlikable.
Well,
and I think he tries to be. Maybe when he's away from being, I think he plays a character when he's up on his podium, and maybe when you're away from him, he's like this great down to earth guy. Like I don't believe that the guy we see with most coaches in the NFL is the guy that they actually are. I think they're it's a representative. And so maybe he's not, but he plays such an unlikable character.
But also, I love football. I love the NFL. I'm not leaning on NFL coaches for my medical advice. I'll handle that on my own.
Dude, the thing is, the NFL deserves a ton of credit for the fact that their players are vaccinated at a much higher rate than society is. They're much higher. Like, we spend so much time talking about the Cam Newtons of the world, but these policies have worked. The vast majority of NFL players are vaccinated.
I want the lead to investigate. What the hell's going on here? The policies you put out there. Well, let's investigate. Right. Hold on here. Wait a minute.
it's going to be an issue until we get past all this stuff. And what, you know, I think what Urban Meyer said, what Chris Ballard said, what Ron Rivera has said, who was the other coach? Mike Zimmer, what he said. It's like...
Mike Zimmer said a lot.
He said a lot. And it's... A big part of this is just taking care of yourself and public health. But a part of this, too, is just getting back to normal. I think all these guys are trying to say, look, let's just get back to just doing what we've been doing before. It's not that hard. If we all get on board... And I made this analogy, man. It's like, if your neighbor's house is burning down, you can sit there and watch it. Or you can pick up a bucket or a hose and try to help put it out. It's not your responsibility, but morally, it's a good thing to do, right? And also, guess what? That house burns long enough, your house could be burning down. And pretty soon the whole neighborhood could be burning down. And so if we all look at it like, well, it's not really my responsibility, I'm going to worry about myself, or I got my own beliefs about this, then guess what? At some point, it's going to affect you. And we're seeing that all over society. It's going to affect you. And that's what I think these coaches are trying to say. It's not just, it's your personal choice, but it also is affecting other people in the building. And we need you to understand that.
We've got Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A favorite song of Bob Gutierrez. That's why we like to listen to it. It's a good song, too. Good driving song. As Bob was making deliveries for Arts. Is that right?
That's right.
Crank this up. You hear this? Right. You hear this down the block? Ah, here comes the tortillas and the chips. Let's go.
In the delivery van.
Right.
With no seats and seat belts and load us in there. Hey, boys, stay on the wheel. No. One person would get to ride shotgun with the seatbelt, and the other two, well, good luck back there, boys.
What are you talking about?
My dad had a, before, back in this, like, mid-80s.
Okay.
My dad had a delivery van, because he owned a Mexican wholesale food company, Art's Mexican Products. My grandpa was Art. He started the company.
Okay.
So when they were a small business, he was doing the deliveries to restaurants. And so he had a delivery van. But he also, that was his vehicle to drive our family around. Okay.
Nice.
And it didn't have any seats. And so that was back before, you know, people took seatbelts serious.
Like a Scooby-Doo type van?
Yes.
Like that level?
It was.
Remember that?
Yes.
Scooby-Doo cool van?
The Shaggin' Wagon.
It had like carpet in the back. That's what was in the back.
Nice.
70s. Now, the good luck AFC West teams. The Raiders, they mean business this year.
Here they come.
A warning out to the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos. Mike Mayock, entering his third season as GM, said yesterday, John and I will both tell you that we feel like we need to be a playoff team this year. There's no doubt about that. So they're looking to make the playoffs this year, right, as opposed to, I guess, other years. Mark Davis heard about this comment, and I'm sure right after getting a haircut said...
Low-hanging fruit.
Right, yeah, it's, what he would, hey, that's a good name. That's a good name for the haircut. It's also, it's always nice to hear somebody say that, Davis said. But let's go out and do it. I'd be much more impressed if they did it. Well, it doesn't sound like he's really excited right now about this Mayock-Gruden marriage. Look, hey, why don't you go do it? I'd be a lot more excited if you did it. Right? And so, Jeff, I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're headed towards...
You're going to go on a limb?
They're headed towards last place, yeah. I think. Don't you?
I think, yeah. Well, look, if Denver is what Denver thinks they can be, just defensively.
I have no idea what they think they can be, by the way, with Vic Fangio at home.
But, yeah, you look at... And I was drinking the Kool-Aid last year when they came in here and beat the Chiefs, and they were 6-3 at one point, and I thought, okay, they've turned it around.
Victory lap. And they put up a banner at their stadium. It was fantastic for them.
That was it.
And straight downhill.
That was it. So,
shocker.
Hey, it's great to make that statement, man, but the AFC is so loaded that I just don't see how you make the playoffs without 11 wins.
Well, I don't see how you make it if you're last place in your division.
That's hard to do.
They just got
to
take care of there.
That's hard to do.
Right. So do you agree? Do you think they're going to be in last place? Give me the predicted order of finish in the AFC West, please.
I would take Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers.
Ooh.
Raiders.
I'm getting back. I don't want to get burned by that hot take.
Yeah. You think that's hot?
Well, I think
that.
Especially from you, because you've been
Mr. Charger.
You've been San Diego.
I thought I was Mr. Raven.
You are. You're Mr. Charger Raven. Raven Charger. But I mean, the Broncos at second place. All right.
I just don't
Sell
know.
Sell me on that.
I just don't know. It's hard with first year coach Brandon Staley coming in there. It's got to see it first. Yeah. So that's what I'm going. I'm not saying the Chargers are definitively worse than the Broncos. I just feel like there's more to trust with the Broncos at this stage. Like, I know what Teddy Bridgewater is. I know what they have on offense. I know what they have on defense.
See, I know what Vic Fangio is, and that makes me not want to pick him for a second.
That's true. But Brandon Staley, so a one-year guy.
There's a lot of people picking the Chargers to go to the playoffs.
That's okay. So who's got – I'll ask you guys this. Ignore the head coaches, because they both has – we don't know anything about Staley as a head coach.
You just go by quarterbacks. Fangio.
Okay. I mean, the quarterback's better with the Chargers, right?
Yeah.
But – outside of that, who's got like the more talented roster, top to bottom? The Chargers or the Broncos?
Broncos.
Is it close?
Let me see. Let me look at. Let me go by position.
Just think about this for a moment.
Now, the quarterback, no. The Chargers have the best quarterback.
Keep track of this, Jake. Get your
running back, I think,
paper.
Is equal. They've got Austin Eckler. Broncos have Melvin Gordon. And actually, I think they're better at running back. Broncos have Melvin Gordon and they're getting drafted from North Carolina.
Devontae Williams.
Yeah. I think the Broncos are better at receiver. Chargers have Keenan Allen, but
after that, Mike Williams.
Else, yeah, it's Mike Williams. But then you're talking about Cortland Sutton's been a Pro Bowl guy.
Right, Tim Patrick proved himself.
Jerry
a little bit
Judy,
last
KJ Hamler, and Noah Fant.
I like Cortland Sutton a lot. I think he looked good the other night when he finally came back for his first preseason game, caught a touchdown. I think he's had a big year.
Offensive line, it's not even close there. Broncos got a better offensive line. D line, you'd give it to the
Chargers,
but linebacker. You know, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. And then secondary is going to go to the Broncos, too. Aside from
Derwin James.
But Justin Simmons is a Pro Bowl safety. Mm-hmm. And you got Sertan looks amazing. They've got, they got a ton of corners.
Yeah, Fuller signed from the Bears, went over there.
Yeah. So I think, overall, they got it. Most people will tell you they got a top five roster in the NFL.
Does Sertan look, this justifies not picking Justin Fields amazing? Or
no.
Just amazing.
Just amazing. I mean, he's a big dude. Like I'm a decent sized guy. You see a guy in cleats, he looks like he's 6'4" out there. And he's a big, and he can run.
He can play quarterback, maybe.
Well, you never know. I think that he is in he could be a Pro Bowl player. Now again, do I think Pro Bowl corners win championships? No. I don't believe that. But do I think they'll have a good defense, and they'll be able to score points and play efficiently. Yeah, I just don't. Again, it's so easy to fall in love with these first-year coaches who've been around Sean McVay, and he's another guy, like the Zach Taylor, the Matt LaFleur, all these guys. You know, some guys work out, some guys don't. I just don't know if Brandon Staley off one good year, when you have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey playing on your defense, means you're the next Buddy Ryan.
Well, I think the Broncos have a better roster, but I think it's close, and I think that is where you go to the quarterback position, and the Chargers have a better quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get what you're saying about coaching, but I think just look at what the Packers did last year. It's all about your quarterback. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Well, good special. I'm saying that if one team ends up being a 9-10 win team, the other team end up being 9-9 win team.
Right. You just don't think either one of them are probably going to make the playoffs because the AFC is so stacked.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just heard Jake Pounder say it's all about the quarterback, Jeff Jadia. We heard Gary Lezak quoting people saying that Zach Wilson is the next big thing. And so
Tony Romo.
He's getting around now, huh?
Yeah. And so tell me what quarterback will be most productive in his rookie season. Will it be Zach Wilson? Will it be Trey Lance? Will it be Justin Fields? Or will it be Mac Jones?
Oh, man, it's an easy one. The guy who's actually on a playoff-caliber team and knows he's starting, I'll go with Mac Jones.
As far as putting up numbers and everything, he's still going to...
Yeah.
What? Give me an example. I don't know if you're playing some fantasy football, you're looking for a backup quarterback. I don't know. Maybe you got 15 running backs on your roster and you need to make up some waiver claims like your Nate. Give me.
I think he's, what was Herbert last year? About 4,000. And
look it up, Jake. You're the fantasy football guy. Give us the numbers.
30 touchdowns. Is that what he did?
What did he do?
I thought he was around 4,030 touchdowns.
He broke the record.
4,336 yards.
Okay, more or less than yards.
Less.
Okay, less yards to Mac Jones. Will he hit 4,000?
I think he'll hit 4,000.
Okay, 4,000.
31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
I think he's 27-9.
That's still a damn good rookie season if they pull that one off.
I think they'll skew it.
4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 9 picks.
That's a really good rookie season.
With both tight ends catching about 70 passes.
when will Justin Fields take over as quarterback in Chicago?
Week 2. After they play the Rams? After the Rams.
I was thinking more like week four.
Don't let Justin Fields take those hits.
Detroit in week four.
But what if Andy Dalton?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, seriously.
But what if Andy Dalton then says again, it's Andy Dalton time?
And Andy Dalton said, time on the bench.
Yeah, right.
It's time to go to the bench.
I think that week four against the Lions is going to be Fields' first start.
So we could see a timeshare. When do you think Trey Lance will take over as the guy? Or will that happen this year? You'll see both of them play.
I feel like it's going to happen at some point, or he'll at least play some snaps in certain situations, because they've already shown that in preseason. They've been teasing it for a while. I just don't feel like that's as simple of a call as Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. I feel like you're talking about a kid who, while talented, Trey Lance is definitely talented. He played one game last year, a showcase game. He's played over 19 total games in his college career, something like that, some crazy number.
And the Niners have won with Garoppolo.
The Niners have won Garoppolo. So I think you need to give him an opportunity to grow and play. Patrick Mahomes played three full seasons of college football and put up big numbers doing that at the highest level of college football. I think when you're playing at a lower level, and it's just – once you go to the rookie, you can't go back, right? And so you're going to move forward with him. I just don't – the Niners have way too much going for them to risk doing that right now.
Who puts up better numbers this year, Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson?
I'll go with Zach Wilson.
Ooh. Gary Lezak, victorious right now. Jake, do you agree with that?
Yeah, because I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to make it through the season. He's going to get killed. That line's terrible.
The line's terrible. Yeah, and their offensive scheme puts him in harm's way.
Urban Meyer is like down there. Perfect just storm. An utter disaster.
Right.
Like, I mean, how'd they draft?
Their offensive scheme puts him in harm's way.
Hurricane Urban.
How'd they draft at the end? I mean, when you look at that line.
They just wrote it in the car. You're right.
That's smart ass.
That's how they do it.
Even when he was healthy. I thought it was set. Not that I don't like Etienne. For that team, it was such a stupid pick.
Yes.
And then he got hurt. I'm like, okay, who's the best offensive lineman available right now?
Yeah.
It was simple as that. Right?
I just drafted a franchise quarterback. I need to protect this guy. Running back.
And on top of that, you had James Robinson.
Right, you had the best rookie.
That's the only
way. Like a receiver. And I think they wanted to be like a combo like receiver running back.
Down there,
I couldn't figure it out.
That experiment's not going to work out.
Then Urban said, we're just going to get off his line in the transfer portal. Like, Urban.
Hey, he's wearing his PR people out there.
That happened.
He is wearing
We got a couple of red shirts. Like, no. Well, we just pay a guy. We got a bag man over here that can get this.
Bag man.
No, I don't.
I was at the Vikings Chiefs preseason game, and I was talking to their color guy, and he's like, you know what's crazy? Once we get to the regular season, these guys are going to look at the sidelines and be like, this is all we got now?
Yeah. I don't have 70 guys over here. Where is everybody?
That's like 46 guys out here.
I think we can get this guy that the Chiefs drafted to flip his commitment. Yeah. He's going to come over and play with that Urban. Right.
Soft commitment, sufferable?
Can't ever. So what do you do with this final weekend before the season? The calm before the storm. I'm just
going to relax.
The college football?
Watch some college football, relax, and then fire off. Western Michigan.
Oh. Is there any you're nervous at all?
We'll see. Let's see who the quarterback is.
I mean, that would be a...
Yeah. They go through quarterbacks. They're like Jason Whitlock goes through hot dogs.
Wow. Whoa!
Easy.
Quickly. Wow! I like this. Quickly. Jeff Chedia with... There was that pause, and no one gave. What's he gonna say? I don't know how this sentence ends, but there's a lot of things that will make it true. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. We'll be right back after this with Buster only on WHB.